యది కుర్యాత్ ప్రమాదేనా యోగీ కర్మ వికర్హితం యోగేనేవాదహేదంభో నాన్యత్ర కదాచన యది కుర్యాత్ ప్రమాదేన యోగి కర్మ విగర్హితం యోగేనేవాదహేదంభో నాన్యత్ర కదాచన
Yadi,
yadi.
If kuriyat should perform pramadena due to negligence, yogi, the yogi, karma, an activity, vigarhitam, abominable, yogena, by the yoga process, eva, only, the head, he should burn up, amha, that's in. Na.
No.
Anyat. Other means. Tatra. In this matter. Kadachana. At any time should be employed. If because of momentary inattention a yogi accidentally commits an abominable activity, then by the very practice of yoga he should burn to ashes the sinful reactions without at any time employing any other procedure. So purport by servants of Srila Prabhupada. The word yogena here indicates jnana yogena and bhakti, bhaktya yogena. Since these two transcendental systems have the power to burn sinful reactions to ashes, it should be clearly understood that the word amhas or sin here refers to an accidental fall down against one's desire. Premeditated exploitation of the mercy of the Lord can never be excused. Significantly, the Lord forbids any extraneous purificatory rites, since the transcendental yoga system are themselves the most purifying process, especially bhakti yoga. If one gives up one's regular prescribed duties to perform a special ritual or penance trying to purify a sinful reaction, then one will be guilty of the additional fault of giving up one's prescribed duties. One should pick oneself up from an accidental fall down and go on vigorously with one's prescribed duties in life without being unnecessarily discouraged. One should certainly lament and feel ashamed, or there will be no purification. However, if one becomes overly depressed at an accidental fall down, one will not have the enthusiasm to go on to perfection. Lord Krishna also states in Bhagavad Gita 9:30, Abhiches sudhiracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadhreva sa mantavya samyak vyavasito hi saha. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. The most important point is that one should be properly engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, for then the Lord will excuse and purify an accidental fall down. One should, however, be most cautious to avoid such unhappy event.
Om Jnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांद राधा कांद नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Hare Krishna. So here we have a very interesting verse because it has lot of practical significance in our life. So today we will be discussing how can possibly one person who is fixed in devotion service or in the yoga system can fall down. And if we can understand there is a possibility of fall down from the process of devotion service, then what is the precaution that one has to take? So that is the next question that we'll be trying to answer in this talk. Next, if somebody falls down from the process of devotional service, then how can we look at it? And finally, we will have a look at how to get out from such a fallen condition. So to start with, we will actually go to the third canto of Bhagavatam. So in third canto of Bhagavatam, creation is very nicely described. Also towards the end of second canto also describes creation. So as we know, the Lord Brahma is the first created living entity in one universe. So from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who is lying down in the Garbhodaka ocean, from his navel a lotus sprouted, and from the lotus Lord Brahma took birth. When Lord Brahma took birth, he could see nothing. He was in the hole of the lotus and he was looking around. He was trying to find out what is his source and what is there around him, but he could see nothing. First he went out. He went into the outer space and he started looking everywhere. What is there? As he looked in four different directions, he developed four heads, because he has got four heads corresponding to four different directions. Still he could see nothing. Then he came back to the lotus hole and he sat there and he thought, what should I do next? Then he thought, okay, I will go down. I have tried going outwards to see what is there in the universe. He could see nothing, so he went down towards the stem of the lotus. And his aim was to find the root. Where am I coming from and what is the source of all? He went down, but still he could find nothing. However, he was so fortunate that he could hear these two syllables pronounced from the water. And this was Tapa. So Bhagavatam says the chronological order of these two letters in the alphabetical list. So he heard these two letters, Tapa. So he got the understanding. That is what he has to do next. So it is mentioned, Upashranot. Upashranot is the word used to mention that he heard these two syllables, Tapa. So Upashranot means something that which is bringing close to the spiritual master. That is the meaning of Upanayan. We know the meaning of Upanishad. Sri Ishopanishad, it is mentioned. Sri Ishopanishad means the Upanishad that brings one close to Krishna, close to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is Upanishad, Upanayana. Similarly, he heard the word Tapa, that was Upashranot, meaning that can actually bring him close to Krishna, his spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he started his meditation for 100 years according to his calculation. So he had this great austerity and penance to understand what is the source, what is the absolute, and what is the whole thing that is going around him. So at last, at the end of his meditation, he got darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is, initially he got darshan of Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu, because he is right present in the lotus which is sprouting from the navel of the Lord, Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu. He is the source of all the incarnations in one sense, because from Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu, Kshirodaka Shai Vishnu comes. And all the expansions of the Supreme Lord are ultimately coming from Kshirodaka Shai Vishnu. So he is the source of Kshirodaka Shai Vishnu. So in one sense, he is the source of all incarnations. And on the other sense, he is the source of all demigods also. Because Lord Brahma is coming from Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu, and from Brahma other demigods are coming, including Lord Shiva. So this was the initial stage. And he is seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Bhagavatam says in the third canto, in the 8th chapter, how he was seeing the Supreme Lord. He said, Preksham Chipantam Harito Baladre Santhya Pranive Ururukshma Murtha Ratna Udadha Raushadi Saumanasya Vanasrajo Venu Pujankripankre. So he said, if you see a big coral mountain and consider there is gold deposits on top of the mountain, and he is comparing this big mountain to be the Supreme Lord, or he is comparing the beauty of the mountain to the beauty of the Supreme Lord. So if there is a dark sky or approaching the darkness, reddish sky, so it is said the reddish sky is apparently like the dress of this mountain, and all the flowers and all the variegatedness of herbs is just like the dress of the mountain. So it's a massive mountain, and Bhagavatam says the beauty of the Supreme Lord was deriding the beauty of this mountain. So he saw the Supreme Lord face to face. Then it is mentioned, when he was smiling, when the Supreme Lord was smiling very beautifully, and his smile was reciprocation to the service performed by his devotees. And Lord Brahma was so fortunate to see the smile on the face of the Supreme Lord. And he could see the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And it was said that Lord showed his lotus feet by raising them. So specifically, the Lord showed his lotus feet unto Lord Brahma as the blessings. So we can see Lord Brahma is getting the direct audience of Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu. However, Srila Prabhupada mentions, it's not that he only got darshan of Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu, but he got darshan of the cause of all causes, that is Krishna himself. So Prabhupada quotes from Gopala Tapani Upanishad and mentions that he saw the Gopalvesh, he saw Gopavesh, just like a cowherd boy, Krishna was standing, and Brahma could see even the cowherd boy form of the Supreme Lord as Krishna, the original person. We know, we are familiar with Brahma Samhita. So after seeing the Supreme Lord face to face and understanding that who is the source of all the incarnations, ultimately, that is Krishna, after understanding that, he compiled Brahma Samhita. That's the reason he is telling at the beginning verse in the 5th chapter, that is Ishara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadiradhar Govinda Sarvakarana Karana. He is saying, okay, cause of all causes is ultimately Krishna himself. The sole reason being, he is the first created living being, and he searched everywhere, he could find nothing, and by the performance of austerity in devotion service, ultimately he could see the Supreme Lord face to face. So that is his conclusion, that is, Krishna is the source. And as you know, Mahaprabhu found the 5th chapter of Brahma Samhita from Adikeshava temple when he went to the south. It's a beautiful temple, Adikeshava temple, it's a beautiful temple. It's like the Lord is 21 feet long, very beautiful, Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu lying down. And the whole, around the area there is actually a library. There are many original scriptures kept. And from there, Mahaprabhu got the original Brahma Samhita. And he wrote the whole Brahma Samhita. And he understood it is a very, very important scriptures for all the Vaishnavas. So it is considered, Brahma Samhita is considered as a summary of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is worshipped by all great Vaishnavas, especially in our line, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava line. Now, so Brahma got this darshan of the Supreme Lord, and he has to actually do something, because there is some purpose for Lord Brahma to be created. He is there for a purpose, and that purpose is creation. So if you try to understand the position of Brahma, it is very interesting, because he is the only living entity present in the universe. In this universe, the only living entity at that point is Lord Brahma. And Brahma, as we know, he is a great devotee, because he prayed and he could see the Supreme Lord directly. However, now that he has to create the whole material creation, and creating this whole universe means populating the whole world. Means he has to place each and every living beings, each and every individual beings in the right body according to the respective karmas. So it's a very difficult task. That is point number one. Second, he has to associate with so many living entities. Since he has to give the bodies to so many living entities, that is innumerable, it is mentioned even he has to associate with so many vicious living entities. So Lord Brahma was considering, there is a high chance that I would fall down or I would be affected by these living entities, because this is the cause of, this is a direct association with materialistic people directly. So Srila Prabhupada says, everyone engaged in devotional service in the material world is prone to material activities. By the constitutional position, by the nature of being in the material world, one is prone to perform material activities. And one is prone to be affected by the material nature. And one is prone to be affected by the material association of the materialistic living entities. So this was a great worry of Lord Brahma. And if we place ourselves in the same position, we can see we have to associate with the materialistic nature, we have to meet with so many karmis all the time. If somebody is working out, one has to meet with so many people who are not devotees. If we are preaching, preaching means we have to reach to people who are not devotees. That is the essence of preaching. So in all circumstances, one has to meet with, one has to associate with people of materialistic consciousness. And Brahma is a very elevated devotee. And what is our position? We are not so elevated, and we are very much prone to this contamination. Now, this is the reason Veda says that the spiritual life is compared to a razor edge. Razor edge means if there is a slight inattention, there will be bloodshed. And we have a practical, when we have a literal experience of razor edge, especially when we are shaving our head with a cutthroat knife. Which happens often, you know, at least once in a week. I remember first time I was shaving up somebody, and I still remember whom. I don't want to mention the name. And I took it so casually, because I didn't understand the seriousness of the issue. So I was shaving, first one cut, he was crying, oh, just sound was coming, oh, blood was pouring. Then somebody came to me and started talking to me, and I again, one more cut. Three times it happened. And the fourth time he said, if somebody is coming near me, he will immediately say, Prabhu, stop. You talk and then do. So this is the danger with the razor edge. Literally the head will be full of blood. I used to say, if you shave somebody, it is like the battlefield of Kurukshetra. If you look at the head, so much. So this is razor edge. So we have the direct experience of razor edge. Now, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in the very same purport, that is, devotional service is like razor edge, because slight inattentiveness, one can fall down. There is a chance of falling down at every step. As we know, Bhagavatam says, padam padam yat vibhadam. That is, at every step, there is a danger. So that is the meaning this verse says, if because of momentary inattention, a yogi accidentally commits an abominable activity. So that is the slight, momentary inattention is enough for one to perform any abominable activity. Yeah, we know ourselves. even while chanting or while performing devotional service, how our mind goes everywhere. It goes on a trip, world tour. So it is, you know, it's not a slight intention, you know, we are inattentive most of the time. So it implies that we are prone to fall down to various degrees. Now, if we understand, okay, there is a fact that we are prone to fall down. We are prone to do abominable activities. Then, what is the precaution that we have to take? So, in the purport, in the third canto, in the eighth chapter, where Lord Brahma is created, Prabhupada gives this wonderful purport. I'll read a few sentences as Prabhupada says. It's very interesting. Prabhupada says, Brahma, as a supermost Brahmana, is afraid of such a fall down. And therefore, he prays to the Lord for protection. This is a warning for one and all in the spiritual advancement of life. Unless one is sufficiently protected by the Lord, he may fall down from his spiritual position. Therefore, one has to pray constantly to the Lord for protection and the blessings to carry out one's duty. Lord Chaitanya also entrusted his missionary work to his devotees and assured them of his protection against the onslaught of material affection. And you see, what is the solution? One has to constantly pray to the Supreme Lord for protection. And if one is sufficiently protected by the Lord, that is the only point, that is the only point at which we can be immune to fall down. We can be immune to affliction by the material nature. So, this protection by the Lord is the most important thing. And to get protection from the Lord, one has to pray constantly. So we can understand, we are not in a position, even if we say we have to pray constantly, we are not in a position to pray constantly. But at least, we have to pray when we come in front of the deities, when we come in front of the Srila Prabhupada, to our spiritual master, we have to pray, at least frequently. If not constantly, at least we have to start with frequent prayers to the Supreme Lord for protection. And it significantly, in fact, next chapter, the whole chapter is Lord Brahma's prayer for creation. So, Lord Brahma, even though he's such an advanced devotee, he's seeing the Supreme Lord face to face. Now he's praying, offering the whole prayers for protection, because he's going to associate with the material nature. So, two interesting prayers I have taken out. I'll read that. The Lord Brahma is saying, the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, is always the benefactor of the surrendered souls. His activities are always enacted through his internal potency, Rama, or the goddess of fortune. I pray only to engage in his service in the creation of the material world, and I pray that I not be materially affected by my work. For thus, I may be able to give up the false prestige of being the creator. So this is a very dangerous position, because Lord Brahma, he is the creator, he is the secondary creator, but he can think at any point that I am the primary creator. Even though he is secondary, for him it is very clear, obvious that he is the secondary, but at any point he can think that I am the primary creator. So, to protect, let me never think in this way and let me never act in this way. So, Lord Brahma is praying in this way. And for us, we can say we are not even tertiary creator. We are millions of times away from creation. Still, we think we are the creator, we are the controller, we are the enjoyer. So, this is our position. So, next prayer is very interesting. The Lord's potencies are innumerable. As he lies down in the water of devastation, I am born as a total universal energy from the naval lake in which the lotus sprouts. I am now engaged in manifesting his diverse energies in the form of the cosmic manifestation. I therefore pray that in the course of my material activities, I may not be deviated from the vibration of the Vedic hymns. So we can see he wants to chant. He wants to vibrate the Vedic hymns. The same way actually we want to be under the protection of Krishna and we want to chant Hare Krishna. We can see the great examples of devotees who pray for protection. We take chanting every day of Hare Krishna Mahamantra for granted. Do we ever pray, I don't pray, let me be able to chant this Hare Krishna Mahamantra daily, 16 rounds, every day. We don't chant. We think, okay, every day I will chant. But there is a great devotee, his name is King Kulashekhara. King Kulashekhara, he wrote the famous stotra, it is called Mukuntamala Stotra. He recited these prayers right in front of Sri Vallabha deity. So Sri Vallabha is a Vishnu form of the deity. And this time when I went to India, I saw the deity. I got the darshan of the deity. I was quite fortunate. Actually, I have seen that deity so many times, but I never knew that King Kulashekhara actually prayed this Mukundamala Stotra in front of him. I never knew that. Only last week I came to know that. So I was really surprised to hear that, because I have seen the deity for many, many years from my childhood, but I never knew that. So last week I came to know that, okay, the king, because I was always wondering when I heard the Mukundamala Stotra, it starts from Srivallabhedi. Srivallabhedi Varadedi Dayaparedi Bhaktapriyedi Bhavalunthana Kovidedi Nathedi Nagashanedi Dayaparedi Alapinam Pradidinam Kuruma Mukunda. This is the first verse of Mukundamala Stotra. So he starts from the prayer Srivallabhedi, because he is actually offering the prayer to the deity of Srivallabha. So in the first verse, the last line, it says, Alapinam Pradidinam Kuruma Mukunda. First he lists different names of the Supreme Lord. And he says, let me chant your holy names every day. Pradidinam, every day. So this is the prayer of King Kulashekhara. We can see Srila Prabhupada. One time Srila Prabhupada was intensely praying in front of the deity. So one of his disciples, he asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what are you actually praying so intensely? Srila Prabhupada said that I am actually praying for the protection so that I don't fall down to the material platform. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned, the only one main criticism I have to my disciples is that to the degree to which you afraid Maya, to the degree to which we are afraid of falling down to the material consciousness, we are not so much afraid. We are not so much afraid of Maya. Even though we say Maya term so many times, but literally we are not very afraid of the material illusion. We are not. So Srila Prabhupada said, one need to have a positive, in one sense, a positive approach, being aware, being afraid of the illusory energy of the Lord. So here, the key prayer of Lord Brahma is, let me never consider myself to be the primary creator. Let me never consider in that way. Because if we consider, then one consider I am the controller and the enjoyer, which is nothing but illusion. That is the beginning of fall down. Already fallen, then one can go further. It's like there is one story is there. There was a king. The king used to think that everything is happening under my direction. Everything. The whole world is rotating under my command. It's like, hold the kingdom, hold the ministers, hold the different departments, different ministries, everything is happening under my direction. If I am not there, nothing is going to happen. So he said, he boasted to his ministers and he boasted to his Prime Minister that I am the controller. You know, I am everything of this kingdom. This kingdom cannot run without me. I am just like the head, and without me nothing will happen. So this minister, the Prime Minister, was a bit intelligent. So he wanted to give him a lesson. He said, okay, the relationship between this minister and the king was quite sweet. It's like Akbar and Birbal. So minister can tell anything to him. You know, his head will not be chopped because of his comment. So he said, look, my dear king, what you are saying is not right. Everything is not working according to your direction. So king said, you know, how can you say that? So we said, okay, we have a small experiment. For 1 week, you change yourself in the cloth of a beggar and you go out. And let's see how the kingdom is running. So it happened. He agreed. He went out in the garb of a beggar. And kingdom had no king. The same time, the neighboring king attacked, because he understood the king is no more visible. He got the spies, from the spies he got the information that there is no king is missing. So immediately he attacked with all the army, attacked the kingdom. And that time the king got really afraid. King immediately asked the prime minister, "I want to come back because there is a big threat. They are attacking. So what will happen to the kingdom? I will come back." Minister said, "Don't worry. You be there." So the prime minister called for a meeting with all the ministers, and they throned the prince, young prince. He was only 12 or 13 years old. So he became apparently the chief of the country. And they went on the march to fight with the neighboring king. So they defended. So the whole soldiers went, even the 12-year-old boy, he also went, and the whole fight happened. And finally, this kingdom, they won. The enemies were defeated. And all the people were started coming from the, you know, from the border. The 12-year-old boy was, you know, glorified like anything. Everyone was chanting the glories of him. And the whole team was coming, and the king was watching. He was a beggar now, and he's looking at his own son being, you know, glorified so much. And people have started saying, you know, this son is much better than his father. He's really good because he has defeated the whole neighbor. He was just 12 years old. So he came back, everything smooth. And they said, okay, we will make him the real king. You know, we will give him all the positions, everything. So at that point, in 1 week, king understood what really happened. The king told the minister, enough for me. I want to come back. The minister said, okay, now you come back. So he came back and he understood that not only that he defeated the whole armies, everything, he used to have proper meetings with all the ministers, and the son used to carry on with everything. So in the material world, the lesson he learned was, in the material world, even though we think, if I am not there, something is not going to function. It is just like the law of, you know, Archimedes. You know Archimedes? He had a law, that is water displacement law. That is, if you take out some water, there will not be any empty space. It will be filled with some other portion of water. It's like if there is air, any fluid. If you remove some, suck some air from this part, there will be some air to fill in the gap. It will never be empty. In the same way, in the material positions also, it is the same way. If we are not there, somebody else is there. Even here also it's the same thing. If you think, if we are running the temple or if we are doing some service, it is because of me. And if I am not there, that service is not going to happen. That's wrong actually. We are getting an opportunity to serve the Lord. And if we are not there, somebody else is going to get the same opportunity. That is our insignificant position. So Lord Brahma, even though he is in such a great position, he understood this point. And so he is actually praying that, let me never think that I am the creator and I am the person in control. However, there is a chance of falling down, irrespective of everything, because if one is fully assured by the Supreme Lord, if somebody is under full shelter of the Supreme Lord, then this threat is nil. Otherwise, there is that threat to a greater degree, proportion to the surrender. So it is mentioned, according to the protection, one has to have the protection by the Lord. Krishna says protection is according to the surrender. Yeyathamam prapadyante tam tadeva bhajamyaham. That is, it is reciprocal. The relationship is reciprocal. If we surrender, then there is protection. If not, there is no protection. So in case a devotee falls down, what happens? How should we look at it? So that is very nicely mentioned in this verse. That is the purport very nicely mentioned. Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada mentioned in 9:30, apiches su duracharo bhajante mam ananya bhag sathireva samantavya samyak vyavasito hisa. That is, even if somebody is committing the most abominable activity, still one has to consider himself as a sadhu, as a saintly person. So it is mentioned, sadhur eva. Sadhur eva means, even if somebody is doing devotional service, and by chance, by accident, if he is performing really very, very, very abominable activity, still one has to consider him as sadhur eva, as a saintly person. It is shocking if you think about it. Then it is not enough. It is said samantavyam. The word samantavyam means it actually emphasizes the point. That is, Krishna says, it is my order that one should see such a person as a devotee, as a sadhu, even though he has done such an abominable activity. At this point, actually, we can see how merciful is Krishna, or how merciful is Krishna's view. We are very prone to say, very easily we say, somebody does some mistake, or if somebody does some abominable activity, immediately we reject. We try to criticize, we tell 10 people, oh, he has done so and so, you know, he is so and so. We tell so many things. But Krishna himself is ordering samantavyam. He is telling, even such a person should be seen as a devotee. This is actually compassion of the Supreme Lord. This is the quality of the Supreme Lord. It is said, Krishna, even if somebody does a great mistake, Krishna sees it as a minor mistake. He says, Bhrityasya Pashyati Gurunapi Na Aparathan. Bhrityasya, for his servant, Pashyati, he sees Na Aparathan. Gurunapi, even though it is a very, Guru means very heavy. Even though a servant of the Supreme Lord does a very, very heavy sinful activity, still Krishna sees it as, it's okay. Because Krishna still, he is ready to give shelter to such a person. Because otherwise, what is our hope? Because we have done sinful activities for so many lifetimes. Not only that, we have done sinful activities in this lifetime. So if Krishna sees such a sinful activity so seriously, then will we be able to be in the devotional service? Can we perform bhakti? No, it's not possible. So it directly shows that Krishna doesn't see such a sinful activity. He actually, it's okay. And it is said, Seva managapikrita bhuda pipayati. That is, even if you perform a little bit of service, Krishna says, oh, you have done such a wonderful service. In the material world, is there any boss like that? In the work, even how much ever we do, you know, they cannot praise, they cannot glorify everything. A boss can glorify some things, but he cannot glorify everything. Because if he has to glorify everything, then he has to give the salary hike every month or every revision period. So there will be some things, at least he will find some fault in something. He has to. That is the policy. But Krishna's policy is, even though he doesn't need anything, because he is being worshipped by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis, still he is ready to accept our insignificant service, and he is telling, oh, it is very nice. So this is compassion of the Supreme Lord. So why Krishna is forcefully, emphatically saying such a person should be considered a devotee even if he commits abominable activity? The reason is, next verse in Bhagavad Gita says, Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. Such a person, even if he does such a abominable activity, still he will come back to devotion service. He will be of this mentality. He will think, oh, why have I done such a nonsense? I have done such a nonsense. But now let me come back to devotion service. Let me be fixed in devotion service again. So this verse also mentioned, the purport very nicely mentioned, even if there is an accidental fall down, one should have the consciousness to understand that I have fallen down and now I am quite repentful. I shouldn't have done this. I am repentful of the situation, so I can come back to devotion service and beg Krishna for mercy. So that is the reason Krishna says, okay, such a person is fine. He is to be considered a devotee, a sadhu. Now naturally the question arises, if he is not repentful and if he is continuing his abominable activity rest of his life, there is a possibility of that also. That somebody is doing sinful activity, he is in devotional service, tomorrow he is not there, and rest of his life he is continuing his sinful life, then what? So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he is telling the mood, he is understanding the mood of Krishna. He is saying, hearing this objection, Krishna becomes angry, a little angry. And then Krishna says, Kaundeya pratijanahi name bhakta pranashyati. Arjuna, you declare boldly that my devotee never fails, he never perishes. So this is the point. That is, even one commits sinful activity, and if he continues still, since he has done some nice devotion service unto the Supreme Lord, there is no permanent fall down for such a person. Because Krishna will give protection, or he will give another opportunity from where he can continue his devotion service. Neha bhikkhava nashyasti pratyavayo na vidyate. There is no loss or diminution in the process of devotion service. However, this is not a license to do sinful activities. Because when there is an exception, when there is a protection given by the Supreme Lord, that is only out of compassion. But that is not our license. Tomorrow I can do anything and then I can pray to the Supreme Lord. Krishna is not such a fool. If you are, you know, if you are deceitful, he is the most cheat. He can cheat you very easily. So that is his position. Okay, if somebody is fall down, what to do? Just pick up and come. Falling down means, you know, literally falling down means if he is walking, if somebody is walking and somebody slips and he's on the floor, then what one has to do? Just get up. Same way in the devotional service, if somebody falls down or does some sinful activities, don't do any other pujas. Don't go to an astrologer. Don't do any prayaschitta. Don't start with karmakanda. So this purport also mentioned, it's a waste of time. Rather come back and start chant Hare Krishna. That is the highest purificatory method. That is the highest purificatory process. So just come back to devotional service and continue doing devotional service. That by itself will purify. So that is the reason devotional service is pure due to two reasons. One is there is no disqualification for anyone to come to Krishna consciousness. Everybody is qualified. Nobody is disqualified. And on the second point is, if somebody falls down from devotional service, then there is no separate purificatory method to purify such a person. Rather, just be fixed in devotional service again. That will solve all the problems. We know this wonderful pastime of Subhadra Roy in Chaitanya Charitamrita. By accident, Subhadra Roy was touched by a Muslim. And immediately he was banned from the whole social structure. He was outcasted and he had to perform prayaschitta. He went to Banaras and he asked some brahmanas, "What prayaschitta, what atonement shall I perform to get back my brahmanical status?" Okay, some people were very strict. They said, basically you have to do one thing. That is, you have to give up your life. That is the atonement. That is the prayaschitta. And some people were little bit lenient. They said, you don't have to actually give up your life, but you have to melt the iron and you have to drink the melted iron. So they were a little bit more merciful, they were lenient. So he heard similar kind of many instructions from many people. So then Subhadra Roy thought, this doesn't seem to be very matching, because one person is telling one thing and the other person is telling something else. So what shall I do? So finally he got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, you don't have to worry about anything, you go to Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna. That's it. So Subhadra Roy, irrespective of all his fall down, he went to Vrindavan and he started chanting Hare Krishna and he perfected his life. So that is the purificatory method. There is no complications. Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So I stop here. See if there are any comments or questions or corrections. Yes, bro. Yeah. I did to finish it, you know. at one point I just wanted to finish it. You know, do such that, you know, I can finish it is enough of it. At one point even I thought, you know, maybe drop it. So I took guidance from my spiritual master. It was, you know, beginning, maybe middle. He said, no, you continue, you finish it. I said, okay, yeah, I'll go for it. I just finish it. Yeah, but okay, I used to use passion at certain points. Especially when I have meeting with my supervisor, then I used to be very passionate while I am speaking. After that I used to come back and quite relax and, you know, whatever I can do, I used to do. It's like pretty much it was like that. So when there's a meeting where the 3-4 people are there, so I used to go with my papers and presentation, then I used to express myself as I am most interested in the research. So even in the feedbacks, you know, my initiative used to be very high, you know, it was on the highest level. Because whenever I'm talking, I used to talk in a way that, you know, I'm so interested in this, but, you know, literally I was not so interested. So, so they actually took my drama very seriously. So, yeah, so I managed like that. But when I come back to this, you know, I used to prepare for classes. I used to do everything. But I decided one thing, you know, I will come for the morning program. I will chant my rounds and I will attend Mangalarati. I will do my morning, you know, basically chant my rounds here. So I decided that long back, so it didn't affect me. So whatever happens, whether such happens or not, I will do that I fixed. And I'll come back home early, that also I fixed. So that, you know, otherwise my consciousness will be get contaminated if I work overtime. So at one point in my studies, I realized that my consciousness was affected because I was staying longer hours. Then at that point I stopped. I decided I will not do that. Whatever I get, it's fine for me. So I just stopped that and I just continued the devotional process and went on that.
Can you say,
Can you
say something to your boss?
What is that?
You trick your boss?
Trick my boss, yeah.
How exactly the training, how Krishna prepared them. You should always pray for protection. How often you keep that intensity? Always remind yourself how training Hare Krishna is happening. What are some things to constantly remind yourself?
One can hear the glories of the holy name. One process for attentive chanting, one process to actually value chanting is to hear the glories of the holy name. So one point is one can pray the glorificatory prayers to the holy name itself for glorifying Nam Prabhu. There are very nice verses from Bhagavatam, from Namashtaka, and even from Nectar of Instruction. A few verses are there, which actually glorifies the holy name. So one can actually meditate on the holy name, in the sense understanding the glories of the holy name, hearing the glories of the holy name. That can actually alert the mind. If we are before chanting, if we pray the glorification of the holy name, actually that gives some alertness to the mind. Mind will think, okay. Usually, otherwise what happened, or it used to happen, if we chant holy the first round, after half of the round, I will realize I started chanting and I have to listen now. So, rather if we start that meditation beforehand and if we glorify the holy name and, you know, in that meditation if we start, then we can start listening from the first mantra itself. So that is the one, you know, one method I would say. There could be many other. Anyone wants to share, can share. Yeah. Anything else? Yes, Ruth.
Yes. Yeah. One should look on someone if he's, you know, if he performs some vulnerable action, but, you know, we should see him as subtle still. So, what's the reaction, or if we don't see that person as subtle, that's what we mentioned?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we can try to understand that point. That is, what is the reaction? So we can understand even a person who is not a devotee at one point, and if we offend such a person, okay, he's not a devotee, but if we are offending such a person, if he becomes a devotee later, still one is actually getting reaction to that. Like Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was not a devotee when his stepmother offended. But when he became a devotee, she got the reaction. So that is the intensity of the reaction. So we can understand somebody who is already engaged in devotion service and due to some reason he has fell down and has done some abominable activity, and maybe he is reinstated in devotion service. And if we are actually looking at the fault, actually it is only our anartha. We are looking at the fault because of our anartha, because we have that, and that's the reason we are seeing in others. So that consciousness, it's actually an offense, is Vaishnava Ninda. It's actually, in one sense, it's actually offending a devotee in the mental plane. So it's an offense to the holy name. So we won't be able to chant attentive rounds due to such an offense. So. Thank you very much. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.